The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, pardon me, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we truly do appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin back from vacation in his rightful position, back in the saddle, whatever cliche you want to use. Wyatt was awesome, though, man. Shout out to Wyatt Tomchak once again.
Wyatt's always awesome.
We had one moment where I asked Wyatt last week, the guide came out, and there's a grid at the beginning of every guide, 21 VSiN football prognosticators, division, conference, Super Bowl. And I asked Wyatt, all right, two divisions have the most consensus. Obviously, which do you think those are? And he goes, NFC North? I was like, okay. So that was the one part. I was like, he goes, oh, I misunderstood. I loved it.
What do you think it was, least consensus?
He said, oh, that's not what I thought you asked. He messed it up. So it was just one of those moments. It was very funny. And then Friday we had this show where we talked NHL draft. Felica had horse racing picks. His audio was bad. It was just it was one of those where I had to just lean into it and say, they can't all win Pulitzers, Kelly. But none of that was Wyatt's fault. He was awesome.
I caught, man, there was a few things I caught just brief moments of last week that I thought were bizarre, but I caught the NHL draft.
Yeah.
And I think I had it on mute somewhere. Man, when you watch that on mute, it looks like the most serious draft of all drafts.
Oh, yeah.
Like the... You don't see as much of the war rooms, right? You see the guys in the sphere this time, but yeah, whatever arena they're normally in. And it's like everybody's all buttoned up, suit and tie. They look like they're on the most serious phone calls ever. I'm like, man, this draft makes the NFL draft look like it's nothing.
How about the draft was, what, 4 days after the Panthers won the cup?
It's crazy.
Yeah,
the craziest one right now is women's basketball, right? Because they do the college ends, they do the WNBA draft like a week later,
dude.
And then the season starts like 2 weeks later.
Once Caitlin Clark finally falls asleep, she's going to sleep for weeks.
Exactly.
She has not had a break. You're right. Everything that she's gone through and all in the whole right from the tournament to the draft and to the season.
They got some of those ladies playing in the Olympics too.
And then there's that. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Again, I cannot thank folks enough. The beauty of the June bet. And, yes, the July play is coming up. I will have that here momentarily, I promise. But everybody just super, super awesome. I've always said Numbers Game listeners are the best listeners in the game, and I really am forever grateful about it. I will always remember it. Roman Dago, I freaking hate sushi, and I'm interested to find out. Congrats, Gil. Ray, I'm glad you replied because I ran out of character. Oh, this is the nicest. Listen to this, man, Kelly. This you deserve this too. He says, I replied because I am out of characters in my initial tweet to congratulate you. There's a family quality about your show, and I'm glad you won, and so many that tailed also won. That is really nice of you, and if we are able to create that atmosphere, man, we've done our job. George Moses, I'm just happy for Gil on his win. Now we finally get to try this sushi we've been hearing about for so long. Bet Bash week. I'll give it out.
Do you recommend a dish as well, or is it just the joint?
Just sashimi your butts off.
That's right. I didn't think about this. Now there's probably like a secret menu that Gil has.
There's no secret menu. There's no secret menu. Breaker Pari, come on. Sorry. Teasers and parlays. The 2 months of heartbreak / bad luck, it made tonight all the worth it. Happy for you and all the ANG listeners that cashed tickets tonight. The show is going to be fire. Let's go. Well, we try to make it fire. On and on with these. Just absolutely the nicest tweets in the world. We talked a little Eastern Conference. Pari Breaker, come on.
Boom.
Let's go.
And before we get
now, what do you do after you break, Kelly? Once you break serve, what do you do?
Why am I blanking on the word?
Oh, God, I thought I was as a layup.
I thought it was, too.
Wyatt, is that you? Oh, I'm kidding.
Well, what's the damn saying?
Then you consolidate.
I was going to say conserve, but that didn't make any sense.
Consolidate. It doesn't matter if you break unless you consolidate. So we talked. I challenged you on the Sixers. We talked Eastern Conference. What about the West? So,
By the way, that chicken El Pastor is fire on all levels. Seen that commercial? That one's driving me insane.
Oh,
the Chipotle one that's been running for like 3 years?
Oh, yeah. No. Just get the regular chicken there. Don't go crazy.
I never even tried it. Regular chicken's good. Yeah.
I haven't had Chipotle in a long time. Just try it. All right. So Western Conference.
Really?
Yeah, and I used to have it all the time.
I only stopped because you used to have it all the time.
All the time. I don't know. I just the quality of the one across the street from me just deteriorated.
They are very hit or miss. Like some are really good, and then you can go to ones that are
not good.
They're a step down.
Western Conference.
Yes.
Okay. Nuggets lose KCP kind of quietly, which is kind of big, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard this, but the Lakers drafted Bronny. And are they going to keep Dalton Connect? Now I'm hearing whispers that they're going to let him, that they're trying to move him. Is that true? After he fell to them?
I don't know. There's a lot of weird things going on with the Lakers right now.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's been some awkward closed-door meetings there for a lot of years now. But I think this offseason, between the coaching moves, Bronny, and now you've kind of got LeBron's kind of, okay, committed. It's not like he can threaten to leave or anything, right? Like, they all know he's going to stay. He's talking about giving up salary, but like
What was his condition for giving up salary?
Well, I think there's been a split here where they kind of, I think that the front office wants to hold on to some draft picks for the post-LeBron era, right? And LeBron's sitting here, and I think there's some other stars, right? Like, Steph might be saying this too. To his ownership group, where it's, hey, if I'm still playing at this age, like, you got to use those draft picks to go out and get me some help. So that's what LeBron's been saying, right? It's, hey, I'll take a pay cut if you go out and get, you know, someone who's halfway decent. Now, what he's really talking about, he was talking about Klay Thompson and Jonas Valanciunas for the most part. Valanciunas signed with the Wizards, or will be signing with the Wizards.
Well, you weren't here for this, by the way, and I talked about it briefly because every day after a draft, everybody always talks winners and losers.
Yeah.
And I talked about what a fool's errand that is. And yet, then I went ahead and said, but Blazers did kind of well, right? They got Klingon and they traded for Avdija, my boy.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
What are the Wizards thinking? I know they got a nice haul for him, but what are they thinking getting rid of a young player like that who's like just getting better and better?
Yeah, that one was a little confusing to me. I liked what Minnesota did in the draft. I thought that was really big. Them getting a couple scoring pieces. That one was interesting. Going back to the Thunder though, KCP, like, this is where we're seeing some of these ownership groups getting challenged from a salary standpoint. And man, Denver, I think is going to be exposed a little bit here with, like, I mean, they still have this Jamal Murray extension to finalize too.
Right.
That's still kind of up in the air. Like, I over the past 24 hours, I've started to hear more questions about if that's going to get done, when it's going to get done, that sort of thing. As Jamal Murray's kind of focused on Team Canada right now. That's a little odd to me. KCP though, they could have matched that same offer. I mean, he walks away to the Magic, and I mean, KCP, for as good of a player he is, like, that was such a perfect fit for him there in Denver. I was shocked to see that happen.
So what's your order? You gave us your order in the East. What's your order in the West then?
Well, okay, so the big ones that have happened today, you've got the Oklahoma City Thunder, which we all knew this was going to happen. They're going out and signing. Isaiah Hartenstein gets signed today to the Thunder. Will be signed at least today to a big contract.
He didn't play at Villanova, so he's not allowed to play for the Knicks anymore.
Yeah, that's right. That will be a 3-year, $87 million deal for Isaiah Hartenstein. I mean, we laugh about the high-level guys. The guys that are like the tier two guys making this kind of money, this is the one that's crazy.
Will, Chris and I were talking about, I can't even remember his name, but dude from Florida State who was like the fourth pick
Patrick
in the draft.
Patrick Williams.
I'm like, yeah. Remind me who Patrick Williams is.
And remind me what you've done
million?
So far. Yes.
I could not believe that.
I mean, there were at times, I mean, we don't have to go far back into last year where you're like, Isaiah Hartenstein was a backup center. He was a backup center for a long time on the New York Knicks. He's getting paid, but you're going to have, with Caruso going there now, like, Gil, as of today, and a lot can change, a lot will change over the next few days, the Thunder are the best team in the Western Conference. You add Caruso and Hartenstein to that lineup, what they had already, and re-sign what they brought back. Isaiah Joe, Wiggins comes back. You're talking, and I'm going to take this from Matt Moore. I just saw him tweet it out. Defensive EPM last year. You got, that is estimated plus minus, okay? Alex Caruso finished fifth in the NBA. Shea 14th. J-Dub 31st. Chet 37th. And you just added another top five guy in Isaiah Hartenstein. The defensive side of the ball is now loaded. So you keep getting consistent scoring from Shea. 30-point Shea every single night, and J-Dub, that is a scary, scary team going into next season. You're now looking at the Nuggets. The Nuggets and Timberwolves, I feel like they got to play a little bit of catch-up here.
Is there a bet in any of this? Is anything in free agency?
Not yet. I mean, do these trigger bets from me sometimes? Yes.
But did they hear?
But nothing yet. Nothing yet.
Okay. So you're saying OKC, it sounds like you're saying by far the clear team in the West. By far?
I don't want to say by far, because I mean,
Nikola
Jokic still exists.
That's
if I had to bet one thing today, though, it would be the Oklahoma City Thunder.
All right,
they're a team though that they're going to be mainly done with all their spending now, and so it's going to be now it's time to see what do the Nuggets do, what do the Timberwolves do, if anything. The Mavericks are heavily involved in this.
Is KD going to get moved? Does it matter if he gets moved?
If who gets moved?
KD.
I have no idea what's going on with that situation. I really thought one of those guys were going to get moved after the draft. So, I still think something happens there, but it's a little weird that it's taking this long.
NBA is such a soap opera with this kind of stuff.
I don't know what your Warriors are doing. I actually think they might be involved in that discussion, Gil, that it's not being really reported right now.
How about they're like, hey, thanks, Chris Paul. Get out of town. How about that?
For our Wemby MVP tickets.
That's very nice.
Chris Paul, one of the greatest point guards ever. We're going to pair with Victor Wembanyama for a year. Let's go, baby.
How many different teams is that for Chris Paul? I'll do the counting for you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is seventh. Seventh team in the career of Chris Paul. San Antonio Spurs. You're right. Good point. That doesn't hurt the Wemby cause at all.
Would have preferred Trae Young, but whatever.
July MLB wins is next. I can't wait any longer. Come back.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With our all-new NFL betting guide out now, there's never been a better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Our all-new NFL betting guide is your secret weapon for the upcoming season. With in-depth profiles of every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and betting trends, you'll have all the tools you need to bet this season smarter. Plus, our experts share their top bets on season win totals, futures, and props, giving you the insights you need to get ahead of the action. To get the guide, though, you got to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. That's the rub. For a limited time, get an annual subscription to VSiN Pro at an unbeatable price. Normally $240 a year. You can subscribe now for just $199. Got to use promo code ANG for that. Plus, we'll throw in an extra month for free. That's 13 months of VSiN Pro access to everything we do, including our daily best bets, 24/7 video, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and all our special edition betting guides to keep you betting smarter all year long. Don't miss out on our all-new NFL betting guide and this incredible offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe right now and use promo code ANG.
ANG like a numbers game. The fine show you're listening to right now. That's by Gil Alexander.
That's 13 months of VSiN Pro for just $199. Get instant access to our all-new NFL betting guide. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. I missed you tripping me up on that. I lied, everybody. Let me just say that. I said we were going to do Major League Baseball most wins in the month of July. But Dallin Cuff is joining us from ESPN, and we're pumped about that. So we'll do the July picks coming up. Dallin here to talk with us about soccer, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Dallin, good morning to you, sir. Always a pleasure to have you on.
Well, it's great to be with you, and you do not want me talking baseball because I don't know a damn thing. So keep it on the pitch.
No, I will keep it on the pitch, but before we get to the pitch, college basketball is still your wheelhouse, of course. I just want to ask you two questions. One, was there a player in the draft where you're super-duper high on and you think a team really just got the best of the draft by drafting him?
Well, honestly, Dalton Konecko in 17, guys, was just shocking to me. So they got a guy that's the most refined offensive player in the game in that draft right now and come in and help them make shots, score at all three levels. Defensively, he's got to get better, but he's an elite offensive player. And I think the futures market that the NBA is obsessed with hurt him. It's 23, and that dinged him up. But he's going to be able to play for 10, 12 years in that league. And Devin Carter from Providence. There's two guys that are older. He's a 6'2 guard, 6'9 wingspan, rebounds, defends, hit 40% of his threes on 6 attempts a game. Those two guys, older guys that I thought were going to go in the top 10, did not, and I think they will end up being very good pros with a weaker draft. Maybe not all-stars, but very good pros for a long time.
The other college basketball question is, I have one future right now, Dallin, which is on Alabama, 18-1 to win it all next year. Should I add more is my only question.
Should you add more? Bro, wait till the full rosters are, locked. They can still move a little bit here.
Oh,
so, I would say this month, I guess, you're pretty much done. When you hit about end of July, we're pretty much done. So you should be all right. And this is basically, I wait till about August and I start calling coaches then to see, you know, how things bedded in. They've done their workouts in the summer, how things look. Because right now, there's just such a huge turnover. I can tell you teams that might be good, but really, until I start talking to the guys and you get them off the record, you get a better sense of where you're at, and then you get September, you start to go to practices, then you actually have a better real feel of what's happening, because there's just so much turnover now. They're real flyers right now.
All right, fair enough. Fair enough. I have back channels with Alabama, but that's fair enough from a general...
good luck to your Alabama play. Don't let me poo-poo. I'm just saying I'm not doing it.
Okay, I appreciate that. All right, so we got two things going on. We got the Euros. We'll get to that momentarily. First, though, center stage tonight, Copa America, and specifically the United States of America. Three scenarios for advancing, Dallin. You know them all. None of them appealing. They beat Uruguay tonight. They win the goal differential tiebreaker if Panama beats Bolivia. Draw with Uruguay, hope Panama and Bolivia draw or Panama loses, or lose tonight against Uruguay, and then hope for lowly Bolivia to beat Panama and then win the goal differential tiebreaker. What happened here with the USA, and how do you think they'll do tonight?
Well, I mean, Tim Weah, that was a catastrophic mistake for a really talented young player that's going to be a starter for our U.S. team for years to come, and will be in the 2026 World Cup starting for our team, likely, regardless of who the coach is. Come back to that in a second. Because he's that talented, but you can't pop a guy in the face in today's, even if it's not even that aggressive. You can't do that in today's modern football. It will be seen on VAR, and you will get a red card, as he did. So he put his team behind the eight ball. I do respect the way the guys bounce back. I do think this team perpetually underachieves the talent they have relative to how they're set up, in a coach that continues to put them in a system that he says they have to play versus finding the best way to play for the players that he's been given. We've never had all 11 outfield players. All 10 outfield players playing in the top five leagues in Europe. We have that now. And these aren't just all guys on the roster. A lot of these guys, I mean, Anthony Robinson was the player of the year for Fulham, a Premier League club. Pulisic had the year of his life at AC Milan. McKinney was great at Juventus. And I can keep going down. These guys are integral parts of the clubs they are play for, and we are not maximizing that talent. So that said, the red card is a problem. I'm not surprised this team is underperforming. I hate to say this, but I thought the silver lining coming into this, I said it before, if they crap out, we need to have a coaching change. We need to have a vision change. The problem is you have to trust U.S. soccer to actually make that decision. And since Sunil Gulati is no longer the president there, that organization has been a train wreck. So I have no confidence in that. And I do not have any confidence in winning tonight.
I kind of felt that was coming, Dallin, after that. Strong words about Greg Berhalter and USA soccer right there. All right. And I assume you think Panama gets the best of Bolivia as well on the other side today?
Yeah, I don't think Panama, this is a massive opportunity for them. Just a humongous opportunity. I don't think they let this slip through their fingers. I mean, they played well, guys, once they were up a man, especially. I mean, they gave up a goal, they bounced back, and they looked more threatening late in that game, and that's not surprising, up a man. I don't think they let that slip. I don't see us going through. I don't think this is purely an emotional hedge, but when I looked at the numbers, Uruguay plus 195 to win, a U.S. plus 155. I think on the three-way mark of the draw, it's like plus 220 or so in most markets. Like, for me to not play Uruguay here, and this is not purely just, like I said, not an emotional hedge. They are the superior team with, yes, they've pretty much already advanced. They know that. But this team is trying to build into their form with a striker in Darwin Nunez, who's better with the Uruguay jersey on than he is with Liverpool, needs to continue to play at a high level. I think this team wants to show the world, essentially, that they can be the best team in this hemisphere. And this is a big tournament for them. So I think that they're going to come out there and play. You know, they may make some changes to their lineup, but they're going to go out there and play, and they're an elite team that could win the whole competition, and they want to show that. And on U.S. soil, I think they're trying to make a statement. They're the better team here, and I think they're the better play. And I hope I do hope in some regard I'm wrong, because I love our young players and the guys on the field. I just don't think they are best set up to be successful, and against this team in this situation with the eyes of the country on them, I'm not sure they're going to be able to overcome it.
Yeah, I am ready for soccer Twitter to lose their minds tonight. That is an inevitability.
It interrupted. You interrupted the other night. You saw that. I mean, that was Berhalter out. Was just it was crazy right away. Right away.
I didn't know we had gotten to the point where all of our dudes were starting on top club teams in Europe. That is, that's a big deal. We've come a long way in the past 20
starting,
years.
We've come a long way. Maybe not everyone starting, but like I would say, if we go through the lineup the other night, it was pretty much 9 of the 11 starting. You know, Matt Turner, the goalie, was more – his situation was precarious through the course of the year, Nottingham Forest. But, you know, Chris Richards at Crystal Palace, Premier League club, and – you just keep running through them. Gio Reyna had an up-and-down season at Dortmund. He was one guy that wasn't starting consistently. But there's, by and large, we got guys that are playing in the top five leagues, and we just have never had that before at this level.
All right, Dallin, let's go to Euro 2024 with the time we have remaining, just a few minutes. Spain, Germany in one quarterfinal established, England, Switzerland in the other. So the cream now rising finally. We have a couple games today, a couple games tomorrow, a couple matches to determine the other quarterfinals. Today, any thoughts on Portugal and Slovenia and France and Belgium, which is the marquee matchup today?
Yeah, so with France and Belgium, guys, it's two of the most underperforming teams in the tournament. And France ending up finishing second, putting them on that left side of that bracket, really changed up the equation in terms of who could win and what we anticipated happening here. Belgium is a good value plus 350 here because they still are a really talented team that has – they do not tend to do well as the favorites. And the problem is they've been the favorite with this quote-unquote golden generation in almost every game since 2014. So this is a game where they are pretty significant underdogs. There's no pressure on them, no expectations. They got booed off the field in their last group game. The value is playing Belgium. I think you're probably going to see an under game here, minus 140 on a lot of boards, so you're getting a lot of juice there. You could play the under and maybe an under 1.5. This could be a 1-0 game, and then you get some value that way. But it's hard for me to just play France at essentially even money when I think that Belgium is such a value in this situation. The draw is a value as well, given the quality of the opponent and the fact that they both underperform. It's a hard game to handicap, given that both teams have just been so off of what we thought they may be, particularly France, honestly.
And Lukaku still hasn't scored, right? Is that true? Still hasn't scored a goal?
He's put the ball across the line like 5 times. There's been VAR reviews, different things. So, like, they are creating chances. And, guys, Jeremy Doku, by the way, I haven't looked at the numbers of him to get an assist. That guy is freaking electric. And anybody watches the Premier League, every time he has the ball with City, especially when they're playing Arsenal, my heart is in my throat. Like, he is phenomenal. He had a great second game, really slow first game to start. He made the turnover, allowed them to get scored on in their own end. But he's a really, really talented young player that dynamite on that wing and playing balls in. I just think at some point they're going to break the dam here. But France is so structured, so solid, and so tough to break down. You did ask the other game, Portugal. I think Portugal has a bounce back performance. They were terrible against Georgia. That was a really poor showing, to say the least. I think they win this game. And I think if you could lay a goal and a half and get some value in that regard with this team that I think is going to – they're capable of really making a deep run here, and they took their foot off the gas. And that's a massive wake-up call against Georgia the other day.
Dallin, one-word answer, 5 seconds here. Who wins the Euro 2024 tournament?
Spain.
Spain. All right. Dallin, a pleasure. Thank you so much, man.
All right, guys, be well.
Dallin Cuff from ESPN, college basketball analyst, but also loves the pitch. And kind enough of him to join us. We will do July, most wins, Major League Baseball next, I promise.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Bar Canada at the D. That's Barcanada. For those listening in Spanish, the Barrage. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. This Dion Parry-Naomi Osaka match, which we have the over 21.5 games in, and Parry winning it outright as a $3 dog. Osaka won the first set 6-1. Parry came back and won the second set 6-1. So we are in that rare situation where we could have a three-setter that mathematically could still fall under 21.5.
Yeah.
Still unlikely, but just the fact that it's a possibility. Parry was up a break to start the third set, and then she just gacked away a game with two double faults, I believe. So it's 1-1 now on serve in the third set. Still a possibility we could lose or win both, believe it or not, on that. And then you have a Dallin Cuff update. We had one other play he wanted to get.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're still going to be on the air if Osaka rips off 5 straight games here. That would be pretty bad for you.
Oh, she ain't doing that. Why? Because Dion Parry's going to get it done.
Let's go, Diane.
Diane Parry.
Dallin texted me afterward. He did say his favorite bet left in the tournament is Austria at plus 750 to make the semis.
Okay.
I believe that's a current number he's talking about. Says path is great now with how the bracket broke out. Wouldn't even mind a bet to make it to the finals. And they will face Turkey tomorrow.
That's right. Turkey tomorrow, and then the winner of Romania and the Netherlands. The Dutch. Holland.
Yeah, so that would be the quarters then, to get to the semis, and
right.
Then they play, England, Switzerland, winner there.
Oh, did I get that wrong?
No, you're good.
No, you're right, I'm wrong. They would have to beat Turkey. Right, Turkey.
We got it right. Turkey today, then the winner of Romania, Netherlands. You would cash your bet if you made it to the semis, but where they would play England or Switzerland.
Correct. We got it right. Okay,
We did soccer. We got soccer.
Soccer done right, right here on a numbers game. All right, it's that time. After coming one out away from hitting the Guardians in March, April at 65-1. After being two games shy of hitting them, the Guardians, that is, at 16-1 in the most wins in May. And now on the heels of hitting the Astros, most wins in the month of June at 17-1 at Circa, and then dead heating at 25-1 at William Hill Caesars. It is now the month of July. Only three games today. It is a month that, yes, has 31 days, but remember, has an all-star break in the middle of it. So the first thing we do is look at the number of scheduled games for all teams. Now, remember, last month, let's do the scheduled games first, guys. Last month, what happened with that is, in the 30-day month of June, the Orioles had 29 games scheduled. 29 was the most. And remember I said when the Astros got to them, the Orioles would have played 19 games in 20 days. And so maybe they caught them, they would catch them at the right time. And in fact, I don't know if that was part of it, but they swept them. So that was huge for the Astros. The fewest games in the month of June was the Mets at 24. Five fewer scheduled games than the Orioles. The Astros had the second fewest at 25. So that didn't dissuade me from playing the Astros despite that deficit in scheduled games. Here's how it looks in the month of July. The Mets, with an all-star break still. Besides the all-star break, the Mets, who had the fewest games scheduled in June, they have a game scheduled in every non-all-star break day that there is.
What?
27 games. 27 games. You'll see four teams have 26, Toronto, Atlanta, Washington, Colorado. Most have 25 in the month of June. A whole bunch have 24. And then the Royals and Twins only have 23. And the Padres have the fewest, five fewer than the Mets scheduled in the month of June. The Padres only have 22 games scheduled in the month of June compared to the Mets 27. So that's the first thing you should be aware of. And once again, in June, it's just a tool in your handicapping. It should not ever be the end-all, be-all. As again, I played the Astros, who had the second fewest games last month with 25. All right. So I'm not letting it dissuade me this month either. Let us show. Can we show the graphic? No, let's go to the one, guys, where it has the numbers with the run differential and that schedule. If we could go to that next. What I then look for is, all right, the collection of opponents that a team plays, that any given team is playing. What is, in fact, that collective run differential? And the team I landed on was this one. Bam! The Kansas City Royals. The Kansas City Royals, look at this schedule. They are playing teams, respectively, with minus 56, minus 142, minus 40, one plus number at 30, that's the Red Sox, then minus 162 again, minus 13, minus 30, minus 162, run differential teams. So, no surprise that the minus 162 represents six games against the White Sox. The minus 142 is three games against the Rockies. That's nine of their 23 games. Was it 23 games? Nine of their 23 games are against collectively the White Sox and the Rockies, the bottom feeders of Major League Baseball. But they've also got a bunch of sneaky overperformers like the Rays and the Cardinals at minus 56 and minus 40, whose records are far better than they ought to be based on Pythag, and in the case of the Rays, Pythag and sequencing both. So the Royals really have the best of the schedule in the month of July. But that's not all. The Royals do a bunch of other things that are really good, including that are not really obvious to the eye when you take in baseball on a day-to-day basis, but that's where advanced stats always help us out. And that is, they do really great as a defensive team. They're really good on the base paths. There's a whole bunch of little things they do well. And oh, by the way, when you do look at the overall Major League Baseball standings and you look at something as simple as run differential, well, you're familiar with teams like the Orioles and the Yankees that have north of 100 plus 100 run differentials, or the Guardians are right below that at plus 98, the Phillies at plus 121, and the Dodgers at plus 119. But guess who's next? Guess who's next? That would be the Brewers and the Royals. So the Royals are right there as well. They are a team that is every bit as good as their 47-39 record. They ought to be a tick even better than that. So this is a team that has sort of flown under the radar. They didn't have a good June. No one's really thinking about them. And so now we can put up the odds, guys, if you want to do that. These are their current numbers. Now, I got the Royals last night when I cashed my circa bet on the Astros. I got them at 17-1. Now, I moved it at circa, so I apologize when I did that. But at Caesars, they're still 15-1. At circa, they're 10-1 here in Nevada. Again, I apologize for that. But they are 15-1 at Caesars. The Kansas City Royals, who are, well, we're showing 17-1. Are they back to 17-1 at
circa? No, I
checked
these up last night. You probably bet it afterward.
I bet it at 17-1. Yeah, that's what I got. So it's 10-1 now. But 15-1 at Caesars. So the short shots in this market remain some of the usual suspects. The Orioles, the Mets, again, with the most games and a fairly easy schedule coming up in this month. The Guardians, once again, are in there as always. The Braves are at 10-1. The Dodgers are at 11-1. Even the Astros, at least last night, were shorter than the Royals, as were, I don't know, the Brewers and the Mariners and the Cardinals were just a tick longer than the Royals. So that's the play for the month of July. The Kansas City Royals, who I have at 17-1, as opposed to last month where I bet two times the amount at Caesars and so one unit, if you will, at Circa and then two units at Caesars William Hill, I bet all three units this time at Circa. Part of that thinking is this. Now, last week there was a big discrepancy between the numbers on the Astros. The 25-1 was at William Hill Caesars, and it was 17-1 at Circa. So I ended up playing twice the amount at William Hill Caesars, and that part was the one that got dead heated. Here, the Circa number was actually a tick better. It was 17-1 versus 16-1 at the time. And so for me, the rules of Circa were the deciding factor in why I placed all of it at Circa, which is, again, what it has been for all 3 months before this. Circa has a tiebreaker. Fewest losses is number one. Best run differential is number two. William Hill Caesars dead heats everything. When you play a team, and this is where the schedule number of games is sort of a contrarian thinking on this, because most people will look at this and they'll immediately go, well, the team that plays the most games has the most opportunity to win games, and so you got to look at those teams. You got to gravitate towards the teams that have the most scheduled games. I look at it a little more contrarian, and this is what I did last month as well. The odds difference still didn't make me put most of it at Circa, but in this case, I put all of it at Circa because the numbers were actually almost equal. Even Circa was a tick better. And the reason is because I'm playing a team with fewer games. Like the Astros last month, I'm playing the Royals, who have the second fewest games in the month of July. And when you have on the fewer side of games, you want the tiebreaker of fewest losses. Because if you can just keep up with folks in the win column, you will automatically win the tiebreaker. Yeah. Just by virtue of the fact that you're playing fewer games. So you've got to still play good baseball, right? Got to still play good baseball. But inherent in that, built in, you're going to win the tiebreaker, which we did with the Astros. There it is, Kansas City Royals, your most wins in July pick from a numbers game. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Make this NFL season your best ever with our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide. The guide is packed with everything you need to bet the NFL smarter, including in-depth previews of all 32 teams with win total projections for every team, new quarterback and head coach breakdowns, Super Bowl predictions, prop betting guide, plus best future bets from the VSiN experts, including MVP, Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year awards. Whether you're a seasoned bettor or just getting started, our NFL betting guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. Visit VSiN.com/guide to get your copy of our all-new NFL betting guide today. That's VSIN.com/guide. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midlin, the return of Kelly Midlin, back in the house here at Bar Canada at the D. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from DP, Vegas DP. Do you happen to know which shop has monthly win totals? It is Circa. It is Caesars William Hill. DraftKings did them in March and April and then bowed out. And I'm not sure why, but they don't do them anymore.
I think there's a lot of the shops, even different sports, right, will do like the first month, but then they don't want to keep up with it after that.
Interesting. Let's see. Motor City Mike has a theory.
I don't know where else East Coast. Some of those other East Coast shops might have them up, right? Caesars, we just know because they're here. They're here in town as well.
J.D. Emmons, can't wait to hear how much you tip Kelly Billen for having to make a great content bet.
Yeah, that hasn't been brought up yet today. Notice that, J.D.? Notice that?
It's interesting. It's interesting. It's almost as if he...
I don't really care, man. Just keep making them.
Eggs me on. The Truth, 1980.
That's great.
I can hear the happiness in your voice when talking about that Astros win, and I'm 100% sure that you are happier for all the followers that profited from your expertise. You are the best. Thank you. I really am. I know, and I know it sounds corny, but the traction that we got from March, April, May, and now June is just awesome, and I appreciate everybody. Jamie Leva, I didn't think I would be yelling Jeanne at my screen today. Happy to have you back, Kelly. It's a groove thing Monday. Got sushi. Have a great day, gentlemen. Thank you.
Brett, I can't believe you promised the sushi spot, man. Wow.
Yeah, man. Well, I just think it's good karma. Bill 80 couldn't believe it either. He's like, are you really giving out the sushi place?
I'm shocked.
Bill is the only person that's been there with me.
I'm stunned.
He was blindfolded in an Uber, he wrote in the newsletter today.
I mean, this became a running joke because I was so astonished that Gil wouldn't tell me this even off air.
I legit said it one time on air, and it has had more legs than anything we've ever done.
Yeah, because you were like a little child about it when you first brought it up. You're like,
see, here it goes again. Just insults. Just insults.
I'll never forget it. You're like, I got this great sushi spot about telling
anybody. You know, the more you insult me, the less I want to give it out now. You better stop. Brad Billups.
I can't believe you're doing it. I'm in shock.
Yeah, I think we've ridden that bit enough.
I think we have too, but...
Here's what I have to do, though. I legit have to go there.
Wait. No, I agree with you. If I thought it was just a bit, but this is more than a bit to you.
No, this is not a bit.
Yeah.
It's not. It wasn't intended to be anything.
Right.
Till you insulted me and made it into one. But this is... I have to go there now, and I have to sort of warn them. I'm like, hey, guys, just so you know, this is what's happened.
If
something spikes... Just know it's coming.
This was always part of the speculation. It was that it was a smaller spot.
Right? It is a
and
small
that
spot.
And that you didn't want it to get crowded because, well, you know, you don't want to go there and not be able to get a spot.
What if they say to me, we can't take it? They won't say that to me, right? I'm going to give it away.
No,
I promise.
Nobody's going to argue for more business until it becomes a problem. And then I don't think they're going to seek you out individually.
What if they say, we'll punch you in the face if you do it? What if they say that? Brad Billups, with all the action on the monthly MLB bets... Oh, that's a good question. Do you see that type of bet carrying over to other sports? Interesting. The problem with other sports is they are not as, well, I mean, so football you got to throw out because there's only four games, right? Or five.
Yeah, it's really talking NBA.
So you're talking NBA or NHL. I don't see why they wouldn't. Like, there's nothing specific about baseball. Baseball, for me, I wrap my arms around better than I do those other two sports, but somebody else might have a different opinion. And say I'm better at basketball.
I think that NBA would be tougher and I would have less interest in betting it because of the, you know, I want to say injuries, but quote-unquote injuries that happen in the NBA, right? Like you get a hamstring tweak and someone's out for a couple weeks.
Not only that, but you have to forecast load management.
Correct. Yeah, I think I'd rather attack it. Mark talking about this a good way to take the variance out, betting it the monthly in MLB. With the NBA, with that kind of stuff going on, I'd rather attack it night to night. It's a great question, though. Hockey, I couldn't answer. Maybe hockey, it's a good way to bet it. I could not answer that one, though.
Jamie Levads, what are the odds Gil's already looking for a new sushi joint, knowing that he has to give out the old one?
Well, he might be if he gets kicked out of the old place, yeah, if he gets banned.
Trip Tepper, Seinfeld had the Summer of George episode. A&G now has their new Summer of Gil version with the Astros win. I tailed Guardians in April, May, and tailed the Astros bet with a dead heat win. Let's go. There you go. By the way, dead heat, for those who are wondering, because we probably should define this, dead heat is money wagered, divided by the number of teams that are tied. So in this case, it would be your money wager divided by two, right? Because only the Orioles and the Astros were tied. At the odds you got them at, minus your stake. So dead heats really do kind of suck. And if it's more than a two-team thing or a two-player thing, they are really egregious. So if you're going to have to dead heat, thankfully it was the way that we did with just one other team. Primetime, Cowboys underscore Cubs one. I'm sorry. Too much slurping going on from your Twitter following. Need I remind you, you lost your last tennis pick this morning. What have you done for me lately? It's so true.
You bum. Pick it up.
And let me just say this, too. Osaka and Paris. We hit the over on this. But Osaka and Paris, 4-4 now on serve after Paris was up twice. Two different times she was up a break in this set. And this is going down to the wire. Come on, Dion. It's Deanne Perry, by the way. 3Jack H3131. Quote of the day, quote, it's just you and a stick and a ball. I don't know why these guys aren't more consistent. You know what I mean. Let's see. We go on and on with these, but I guess we should update again the tennis future. Shall we do that?
Yeah, let's run through all your Wimbledon stuff. But you still got plays today.
Everything
right?
In Wimbledon has started. No, everything is.
Oh, everything.
By the
started.
Way, Evelise lost, so we're 0-2 to start the morning. That's
that was quick.
Paris could really make this right if you know what I mean.
That match was like an hour. Huh?
Oh, it was so quick. She got blasted.
We were
Claire
waiting
Burrell.
For it to start like an hour and 15 minutes ago.
When they're quick, they're quick. I mean, you see the French Open final? Yeah. If you blinked, Iga was off the court already. All right. So the futures, though, and these will still be up. That's the other thing. Someone asked, there was one more tweet I wanted to ask, and this relates to this, which is Steven Brosek 1870. Do we know when they pull the July lines? Not sure I'll be able to make the bet before the first game this afternoon. This is a great question. With these monthly bets, they have pulled them immediately once the game starts. I wonder if they will allow it to continue after the first three. I would imagine maybe.
I don't know.
How's that for stepping out on a limb? I would imagine maybe.
I don't know. I wouldn't risk it. That was part of Dallin when I was reading that bet right. He's he made sure to put in the text. Hey, get it in now though, because it's going to be off the board once these first games start.
Yeah. Well, with Wimbledon,
France Belgium starts in like 8 minutes.
In 8 minutes, Lukaku's still looking for that first goal.
No. Dude, Paul Carr just texted me. Man. Paul Carr will be on tomorrow. He'll catch a lot of heat for this, maybe.
Well, I think the leader's only at like three goals, though,
yes,
right?
So
like
including someone happen. From Georgia. Some guy from Georgia has three goals.
Well, he's out.
Yeah, he's out. The bet I made with it, though, this is even more comical. I just bet him to lead Belgium in scoring. At like minus 125.
That's right.
He can't even lead Belgium in scoring.
What did Dallin say? Well, he's got the ball across the line five times.
Like, I need today for the only bets I made in Euros? I need him to score like two goals and Kylian Mbappe to score like three because I have an Mbappe France, like Mbappe Golden Boot France to win it all parlay.
Sorry, I was watching Naomi and
there you go.
Paris. I heard you too.
Well, that's what I needed that match today. So
I love that you dove into soccer, though, just on principle.
Lukaku, like I know the guy. Like, he can't. I have a bet for him to just lead Belgium in goals, and he's not even. He's got zero.
Well, you got another chance here in 7 minutes. The difference being with these Wimbledon futures, these will be up in some form at the DraftKings of the world.
Yes.
Iga to win again. It's not her service. She's won 22 tournaments. She's never won one on grass. She'll win one of these one day, and maybe it's this year because she has no pressure on her. Coming off the French Open win, she's got the Olympics that she's going to crush on clay.
Who's the other withdrawal we just saw?
Vika Azarenka, withdrew as well. But the big withdrawal was Aryna Sabalenka this morning. So I got Iga to win it 4-1. She was even longer than that at one point. I have her with Carlitos and Sinner in a final parlay. I talked about those last week. Those were at 7-1 and plus 850 respectively. But the ones I added this weekend when Sabalenka sort of tipped her hand that she may be a no-go here. Daria Kasatkina, who won easily in straight sets this morning. I got her at 22-1 to make the final. Świątek versus Kasatkina at a 100-1 price, which was just too good to pass up to be in the final. And then Świątek against Maddie Keys, who I expect a huge tournament from here on the on the Sabalenka side of it, if you will, the American Maddie Keys, 40-1 to meet Świątek in the final. All of those will be in some form here moving forward at the DraftKings of the world.
A lot of Americans on that odds board. Top of the odds.
On the men's side?
No, women's side. I mean, you got Keys, Pegula.
Oh, we didn't get to our
Collins.
We didn't get to our Wimbledon props, our matchups. We'll do that tomorrow.
Do that tomorrow.
We've done all we can do. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.